Well, thank you, but I'm not quite that old. I appreciate it. What a great place to minister. What a great place to be. As the psalmist says, our boundary lines have fallen in pleasant places. Hallelujah. And so we thank you for that. Before I get into my message today, I just want to acknowledge the amazing process of transition that Pastor's been leading us through. And their tremendous faithfulness over the last 30 years. And the exciting nominee that we've been presented in Pastor Keith and Lacey. You know, I've been thinking about it. What if it had been somebody else? You know, like, I didn't have time to think up a smart comment about all the staff members, but what if it had been Pastor Leon? This pulpit would be replaced with that director's stand, and like it or not, we would all be a part of the new 1,000 voice choir. If it was Pastor Jake, every sermon would start with a joke. If it was Pastor Lynn, we'd all be loved. What if it had been me? If it had been me, there'd be sound effects in every message and a big boy restaurant off the lobby. And if it had been Pastor Kelly, there'd be no more truths. Nope, not even one. Instead, it would be, hey, what's the big idea? And there would be no more benedictions, that's for sure, at the close of the service. You know, the may the Lord bless you, keep you, make his face shine upon you. You know, every service would end the exact same way. Always remember, I too love you like a fried rice. Missions month. It's missions month today. Oh, pregnant and ADD, what can you say? Well, truly, today does mark the kickoff of this year's Missions Month. We're going to be in Mark 6 in just a moment, if you want to turn there. Next week, Assemblies of God Area Director for Middle East, North Africa, who oversees 17 countries. This is amazing to me. Libya, Tunisia, Israel, Syria, Iraq, and Saudi is just a few of them. And you'll hear next week how in the darkest of places, the gospel of Jesus Christ is advancing. And then next week, one of the top missions voices in our fellowship will be leading a church planting movement, talking to us about his church planting movement that is in restricted and closed countries. And he will be next 2 weeks from now partnering up with Pastor Joel for our Faith Promise Sunday. There will, of course, be lunches that you can participate after the service of each of these that are speaking the next couple of weeks, and a couple of GPIs this month, too, instead of one. First one being tomorrow night. You won't want to miss that. If you found Mark 6, please stand for the reading of the word. Mark 6. Mark 6, sorry. Maybe. Now, I'm not going to be able to develop this whole passage today, but I'm going to read the story. Take the time to read the whole story, about 10 verses of Scripture, and then just make a few references to it as I go down through today. Mark 6, and we'll begin reading in the 34th verse. Let's see if we've got the right one up here. When Jesus landed. That says Matthew, doesn't it? All right, well, it might be a little different. So when Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things. By this time, it was late in the day, so his disciples came to him. This is a remote place, they said, and it's already very late. This is a sad phrase. Send the people away so that they can go by into the surrounding countryside and villages, buy themselves something to eat. But he answered, you give them something to eat. They said to him, that would take more than a year's wages, half a year's wages. Are we to go and spend that much on bread and give it to them to eat? How many loaves do you have? He asked, go and see. When they found out, they said, 5 and 2 fish. Then Jesus directed them to have all the people sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups of hundreds and fifties. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to his disciples to distribute to the people. He also divided the 2 fish among them all. They all ate and were satisfied. And the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces of bread and fish. And the number of the men who had eaten was 5,000. Father, I just pray that today you would help me in this remaining moments of the service to discharge what it is that I believe you have set upon my heart for this people. Lord, help me to be able to just to step back and allow your Holy Spirit to lead me, guide me, and how I frame these words. Lord, I thank you for this receptive people and your word in Jesus' name. Everybody said?
Amen.
I take the text from six words, verse 37. You give them something to eat. You give them something to eat. As his disciples, we are also called to do his work, to be his hands, to allow him to love and to touch and to transform through us. Today in this story, we put ourselves in the place of these disciples. There was great need around them, both physical need and hunger, and spiritual need and hunger. And Jesus had compassion on them. But instead of meeting their need himself, he chose to meet it through his disciples. He turned to them, these ordinary people, these disciples, these learners, there's people like you and I. And he said to them, you meet their need. You give them something to eat. Well, they immediately looked at their own ability. They looked at their own resources. They pointed out their limitations and they concluded, send the people away. The need is not practical for us to meet. It's not feasible for us to do this. Truth. Never let your limitations define the borders of what God can do through you. You and I, we can't transform one addict. We can't change the heart or save the soul, but God working through us can. Jesus was always inviting them and invites us to participate in something bigger than anything we could accomplish themselves or ourselves. God always calls people to something bigger than themselves. Look throughout the pages of Scripture. Without God's power, Abraham and Sarah couldn't populate the earth. Moses couldn't part the Red Sea. Joshua couldn't have defeated Jericho. Paul and Silas couldn't escape from prison. See, if you can accomplish what you think God has called you to do without him, it's probably not God. We must face the challenges that we face in our lives and in our ministries and the needs of people around us and realize the task is bigger than us. I believe Jesus is saying to all of us today that if you will have faith in me, Jesus says, if you will step out and trust me, I will do through you what you cannot do yourself. And the people around you will recognize that it's me. They will eat and be satisfied, and they will give glory to God. You've been so faithful through year after year after year to step out in your faith promise and in your prayers in an effort to address the global need, praying for and financially touching almost every nation of the world. I could go on and read a list of things that have been accomplished over this last 12 months. CCC's missions program is and has been one of the strongest, most participatory missions programs in the nation in the Assemblies of God. Not my words or my doing, but because our pastor has built missions into the DNA of this church for 30 years. And because you are an exemplary, generous people per capita, you continue to give 10 times the national average. Your faith promise last year totaled $363,000, 100% of which, as you gave, went out the door. And the exciting thing about that, it's not just a couple of big donors or foundations that make that up. It's everybody doing a part. That's exciting to me. And most importantly, to whatever level we've experienced success, it is because we are trusting and depending upon God to do through us what we could never do ourselves. The global need is still great. There remains over 7,000 unreached people groups and 30% of the global population, yet still with no access to the gospel. Now I'll let the next two speakers address that. My emphasis today is unique. I want to talk primarily about our outreach to the U.S., our state, and specifically our community, and our desire to see that expand. It's not that our home missions and community touch has been non-existent. Far from the truth. Just this past year, if I might give you a sampling, you have facilitated ministry on 20 college campuses, including the U of M, CMU, SVSU, and Northwood University. Salvations, healings, students called into ministry, and missions. Plus, you've had an impact on hundreds of international students on those campuses and also through international friends. Through Michigan Youth Alive, scores of public school assemblies have been had with rallies in the evening, and literally hundreds have accepted Christ. One community in our state where there were over 5 suicides and attempts, they asked Youth Alive, supported in part by your Faith Promise dollars, to come and do a citywide day of hope. They obliged. God moved, and hundreds gave their hearts to Jesus in that city. Your Faith Promise dollars help support a Polish church downstate, a Native American church in Minneapolis, St. Paul, multiple ministries to love 35,000 Muslims in Dearborn, key ministry areas in the urban sections of our state. 1,000 kids you've touched in Pontiac and Detroit. 1,000 more in Chicago and Minneapolis, giving them food, building life skills into them. And in inner city Atlanta, street kids, prostitutes, and the homeless, over 69 CCC people went to minister personally in Atlanta for 10 days, some 11 months. Some are still there. Some aren't coming back because they went there and got married. Through urban outreach, you had a hand in helping to plant. Now, I'm talking about just recently, 10 churches in the inner cities around our nation. A couple of these were a couple of years ago. East St. Louis, Washington Park, Illinois, St. Louis, Missouri, Staten Island, New York, Covington, Kentucky, Cleveland, Ohio, Denver, Colorado, and New Orleans, Louisiana. Through 2 of our supported Teen Challenge centers right here in Michigan, we have seen this year over 84 students complete the program and graduate drug and alcohol free. Glory to God. In our own communities, and many of these ministries are here present today and will be in the fair right after the service. Through our Faith Promise, we've helped Old Town Outreach Center with their soup kitchen that serves 150 meals a day and another 300 on Saturday. They've distributed 1 million pounds of groceries. They've blessed through their baby pantry. They've ministered through jail and prison ministry, discipleship classes, and correspondence, reaching 400 in the Saginaw County. Through investing in restored gems, you've helped take flowers, food, and Jesus to the people at Deja Vu in Saginaw. And I found girls are leaving that lifestyle. Glory to God. Through your support of the Diaper Alliance, you've helped distribute 67,000 diapers a month to families in need around Midland, Saginaw Bay, and Clare counties. Your Faith Promise just a few months ago provided a new refrigerator freezer for the Tony and Trish House. It cares for the terminally ill here in our community. Through Caregiving Network, you help provide food, assistance with rent and utilities, home life essentials, gas cars to people in need in our community. Through the Open Door, Midland's Open Door, 12,000 nights of shelter they've provided, 45,000 meals, and so much more. Our own Pastor Kelly has had public assemblies in the public schools in almost every elementary school in our community, assemblies that deal with bullying and the power of words, and now a new one called Less Stress. Gift cards through your Faith Promise dollars have been given to teachers at Adams Elementary School so that they have the ability, when they have kids in their class that have need of coats or anything, they have the ability, because of your generosity, to be able to bless those students. Through RFK, Royal Family Kids, this year, you helped give hope to over 100 abused and at-risk kids in our communities, and helped PRC, just this year, see 1,600 clients, offered care on a number of fronts, shared the gospel, prayed with families to receive Christ, and facilitated the birth of many healthy babies. And friends, this is just a sampling, but I have to move on. Your Faith Promise dollars are at work not only overseas, folks. I want you to understand that right here in our home territory and in our community, just over the last 11 months, your Faith Promise dollars have invested just shy of $60,000 in the past 11 months. Amen. Now, I believe that our U.S. and community ministries can grow, and there's a couple of phrases on this image here that I want to just articulate how. First is influence. Influence. You know, sometimes the word evangelism can be a scary word, and I agree with evangelism, preach the word and draw the net in and lead somebody to Jesus right there and there. But too often, we think our role is always that you got to close the deal. We don't always have to close the deal, because everybody's on a journey, and God wants to use every one of us to touch people wherever they're at on that journey. That may be closing the deal. That may be at the beginning of that journey. You're just encouraging them toward their faith. You're just ministering to them, helping them out, holding the door open for them, whatever the case may be. I like to look at it as influence. Rather than seeing our task as evangelism to close the deal or nothing, I'd like to see our task as to influence people in our community and across the pond for the kingdom of Jesus Christ. Let's influence people. That term came from our own Pastor Keith through Thrive a number of years ago. And I'll tell you, it has been amazing if you track that story. Thousands of influences our young people have had in our schools and in our community. Defines influence as the love and power of God affecting someone through you. Secondly, any place. Any place. Can I just meddle a little bit? You know, you hear the word missions, most people, what do you think of? I mean, you think of the jungles of the Amazon or the deserts of Africa. And what I'm about to say technically is incorrect. Missiologists would disagree with me. I really don't care. Because at CCC, you know how I think we can grow? Is if we take the word missions and let it mean not only Europe and Asia Pacific, but let it mean our unsaved neighbor replacing his roof, or the unchurched cousin with his wife that just died, or people I work with, people I go to school with, teachers and students and officers and the down and out and the wealthy. Can we change what we think when we say or hear the word missions? You know, as far as I know, Jesus never talked about home missions versus foreign missions. You know, the last I checked, it wasn't an either-or proposition. You know, he said Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. Not just like pick one of the four. But it's reaching the lost. The Bible says he came to seek and to save the lost, wherever they are at, any place. Maybe sitting beside me at the ball game. When we make a faith promise this year, it's not just to reach the unreached people in Asia, but it's also to buy a refrigerator for the Tony and Trish house, to strengthen Caregiving Network and Pregnancy Resource Center, and to support Pastor Kelly as he goes into schools, to extend the love of Jesus and the message of the gospel here in our own communities and businesses and workplaces and neighborhoods. any place, any price. Let me talk to you about that for a minute. Any price. Now, folks, nobody does it better than you financially. I've said that. And trust me, I don't want to give up one inch of ground when it comes to that. Trust me, I don't want to give up one inch of ground because of that. Why? Because there's 170 family units right now that are all over this globe. And communities right now in our community ministries that are depending upon our continued faithful support. But I have a dream. What if we were as good at investing ourselves as we are at investing our finances? What if it wasn't just this as the price? What if it was this? What if it was this and us saying, Lord, use me to touch the lost. I have a desire. And part of that is why we are where we are at today in what I want to present in these last moments of the service. If you would, reach in the pew, and behind you, you can find an influence card. Please take a moment and pull that out everywhere on the balcony, down on the main floor. I'd like everyone to see this because I'm going to take 5-6 minutes and walk you down through this card. As it relates to how we'd like to expand our ministry in our community and in the U.S. and in our state, we've been working on this now, building strategy for about 18 months. Now, what you hold in your hand is not all fully thriving and growing. This is simply a blueprint. This is a track that we want to approach systematically over the next year or two, maybe even three, and see this build out. What happened in our foreign missions department, took 5 years to build it out. This, we are at ground zero. But I want to talk about these 5 points of influence. The first is personal influence. Personal influence. Now, if you look down, you can see the gray box there. Personal influence expresses our priority that all of us influence anyone for Christ who God has placed in our lives. Can I say that? If we as an army of God's people in our community, and we already do this to an extent, but what would happen if we took it to the next level, where all of us would go through our day at the grocery store, in the people we work with, go to school with, and we would intentionally be ready for God to use us to influence them for Jesus and the kingdom? What would happen if we all began to do that? You know, on your way out today, we have a card that the ushers will give you. It says personal influence on the card. And this you might remember from years ago. This gives you an opportunity to write down the names of 12 people that don't know Christ. It could be family members. It could be friends or neighbors or classmates or coworkers or supervisors, teachers, etc., government officials, whatever. You come up with 12 names. And what would happen if we just begin to pray over these 12 names? Be intentional. Stick it in your Bible and just begin to pray for these people. On the backside, it gives you 5 prayer targets in Scripture to begin to pray for their salvation. What would happen if 1,000 people began to pray for people? Now, I know I'm making a commitment at every global prayer meeting from now on that we will take a slice of time, and anybody who comes to the prayer meeting, usually about 100 people, if you bring these cards and you have these names, 12 names, we will take time like we do pray for all 170 missionaries in about 3 minutes. We will lift these cards out and by name pray for these lost family members and friends and teachers by name. And in 3 minutes, collectively, we will pray for 1,200 people in our community that need Jesus. That's an exciting thing, folks. Go ahead. Amen. I have a vision that one day we'll be doing that, and somebody will raise their hand down there. And they'll say, Pastor Pat, I used to be on this list, and now I'm praying for my lost friends and relatives. How great would that be? Influence. Secondly, cultural influence. Cultural influence expresses our desire to impact through prayer and involvement the things that define and shape our culture. There have been ministries that have defined what we call seven gateways in our culture. These are places of great influence, like the government, the education, arts and entertainment, business, media communications, marriage and family, and the church. What would happen if we began to strategically pray for all of those gateways collectively to believe that God's kingdom would influence those gateways? Now, as we build this out, there will be many different ways that you can get involved in these gateways. But first and foremost, we're going to have specific and intentional prayer. State and national. This influence encompasses a lot of our current supported ministries, you know, our teen challenge centers, our campus ministries, our inner city ministries, and we certainly want that to continue and increase. And you may be interested in being a part of that. And if so, you'll let us know here in just a minute. And occupational influence, number four. This I'm very, very excited about. I have, again, it's a dream, folks. It's just a vision. But we have, let's say, medical people. We have a ton of medical. How many in here in the medical field, one way or the other? Just raise your hands. Look all over. There's a number of people. What would happen if we would take the medical community and somehow be able to network you together so that you were aware of each other? What would happen if someone within the medical community say, Pastor Pat, would it be okay if I just kind of like set up a private Facebook and so that we could all just participate, and if we have a need that comes up, somebody's on the edge of death and I need to go talk to them about Jesus, everybody would know, and we could support each other, pray for each other, be aware of each other. What would happen if little networks like that in our congregation would begin to emerge? Business people, educators, people who are in some form of occupation, stay-at-home moms, etc. And we'd begin to network together to reach our community for Christ. That would be amazing. And so again, I don't know how this is going to develop. I have no idea. None. All I know is I think there may be something here. I felt a kick. And number five, community. Community influence. Oh, I could go there, but I don't have time. Community influence. Community influence there demonstrates Jesus by praying for and serving in one or more community ministries. You know, part of what the O'Connors did a year, 18 months ago, when they committed to help us with community ministry in this build-out in our community, we sent them around the community to meet with pastors, meet with ministries, look at what is being done. Because you know what I think? I think it's unnecessary to go out and create something that's already being done. You might say, well, that's not a CCC thing, it's another church. I could care less. If somebody's out there doing it, you know what I want to do? I want to roll up our sleeves and say, let's help them. Let's get involved with them. And if in that process we discover something that is still a need that's not being addressed, by all means, let's look at addressing that. And so as the O'Connors are out turning up things and looking and seeing what they can find, meeting people in our community, we've come up, and this is not exhaustive, but on the back, you might be exhausted, but on the back, you'll see a list of 24 community ministries. We wanted to bring you these 24 and highlight them today, as I said, at the end of the service, down in the fellowship hall. As far as I know, all 24 of these are here today. And they're ready to just interact with you and to have you go down and get a bagel or get a piece of fruit and go up and talk to them, meet them, thank them for what they're doing. And then we can begin to connect people as you would like to some of these ministries, and we would be more involved in our community through these ministries. Now, I was amazed. I got to be honest with you. We looked at these 24 and I began to look, and over, to my best calculation, over 40% of these ministries either are being led by CCC people or have CCC people in the structure. Over 40%. So we are involved. We just sometimes don't know that we're involved in our community. And that's about to change. Now, if you would, turn your card back over to the front part. And down at the bottom of that, you'll see, and our ushers can get ready here. And what I'm going to ask is just a general interest from you. Now, keep in mind, none of this is built out. So what I'm asking for today is if as I was going over this card, if there's any interest, if you would indicate that right now, just take the card, and right at the bottom, you'll see personal influence, cultural influence, state and national, occupational, community. If you're interested in being contacted, and as we begin to build these things out, you will have an ability to speak into that process and help develop what that looks like. I don't know what it'll look like, but I'm looking for people who care about these things to come alongside of us, and together, let's develop what God wants to do in all of these areas, and maybe others we haven't thought about. Now, I would mention that in the purple there's international. That's usually in Missions Month that we say, if you would like to join one of our international teams, we give you an opportunity to say that. If that's you today, we don't want to miss you. And the one, my favorite, in the peach. Pastor Pat, I have no clue. I feel this is exciting. I have no idea what I want to do. Well, you check that. We'll get back with you, and we'll talk about it, okay? Go ahead and check whichever applies to you. Let us know how you might like to be involved in the future. Again, this is not a commitment. This is an acknowledgement of interest, okay? And do that right now. Ushers are going to be coming back and forth the aisle. Collect these. Put your name, your phone number, and your email on the list there, so they're on the card there, so that we can get in touch with you. Then if you would, they are perforated right there. Just bend them one way and the other, and they will tear right off. So go ahead and complete that, if you would, right now in the balcony on the main floor. Ushers, please begin to come up and down the aisles. Pass them to the aisles, and they'll collect them. Now, don't worry if you don't hear from me tomorrow. Okay? I have a surgery coming up at the end of this month. I'm off in December. You may not hear from me till January. I haven't forgotten you. We're going to begin as a leadership team to process these cards, to group them, to begin to look at what the next steps are, and you will be connected, okay? You will be contacted at some point. So please fill that out, hand it in. Ushers, just keep going back and forth. Make sure that we have everybody covered. As you continue to do that, let me just say, what you discovered in this text today, that a few loaves and a few fish in God's hands was enough. What you have in God's hands is more than enough. Why? Because it isn't about our resources. Hear me. It's about what God is wanting to do through us to meet the need. And if we will simply take what we have, bring it to Jesus, and surrender to Him, He will do through us what we can't. You're children of God, folks. You have the power of Jesus in you. You have been blessed with every spiritual blessing. In fact, Christ in you is the hope of glory. What do you think He sees when He looks at you? He sees Christ in you, and He sees everything that is needed to meet the needs of a lost world. It's in you, and He is able to bring it through you into the need. The people will eat and be satisfied, and they'll give glory to God. Amen? Amen. Go ahead, make one more pass. Thank you so much. I do appreciate that. And then we have ushers already getting these cards, these personal influence cards, and they'll be at the door. I don't want to dismiss. Wait a minute. Does that say 1227? It's a miracle. I'm done preaching at 12:27. Oh, well, I guess it's really a miracle, isn't it? I want you to stand, please. And Pastor Leon's going to lead us in a song. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to have the visiting ministries and the missions council please slip out right now and go down to the basement and get prepared to receive people. We're going to sing this song together, and then I'm going to all go downstairs. So thank you, Jesus. Pastor Leon, would you lead us, please?
Bless the Lord, O my soul. His holy name. Sing like never before. I will worship your holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Oh, my soul. Worship his holy name.
Okay, folks, these ministries are downstairs. They're ready to receive us. The purpose that they are down there for is not to solicit funds. The purpose is to make themselves known to you and for you to see what they do. And, very important, to thank them.
Yes.
To take the time to just say, you know what? I see you are involved in our community, and we appreciate you. And I'll tell you, if you can become a little bit more aware of these, and they can leave here today feeling appreciated, we have hit a home run.
That's right.
It's just the truth. Let's see you downstairs. Go get some food, get your kids, see you downstairs.